I just saw happen on the floor of the House. You've covered this body for quite some time. If somebody would have come to you, and you've watched how bipartisan we've ever been with our relationship with the only democracy in the Middle East, Israel, that an entity wants to go and destroy Israel by boycotting, sanctions, divesting, and you couldn't even stand up to say that is wrong. You won't schedule a bill that has passed the Senate by 77 votes, but every single Democrat but five.
That feel one Democrat now.
Voted against Israel and voted to allow the BDS movement to grow.
All right, so that's Kevin McCarthy today bitching that the anti-BDS bill didn't pass the House. I know that's maybe a little bit too political for this show, but I just thought it was hilarious to hear the minority leader, who at one point was supposedly based, bitching that Israel is
going to... I don't understand this.
Well, I understand. I mean, the funny thing is we always talk about Kevin McCarthy. We're like, Kevin McCarthy is the guy that is a total pussy, but he finds his fucking huge ball sack when Israel is concerned. This guy's balls are fucking as big as, like, you know, the earth when Israel is concerned. He's, like, carrying around balls. Like, he's like that fucking guy in Africa that has some weird disease, so he's, like, sitting on his own testicle. You know, like, that's what he is.
Elephantitis.
His nigga's got elephantitis of the balls when Israel is concerned.
When it comes to Israel. All right, hang on, Mike. We're here.
All right, sorry. This is Mike and the Mad Wop.
Mike and a Mad Wop.
Is J.O. bitching that we're
J.O.'s
not?
Mad.
Okay, all right. So this is Mike and the Mad Wop. Welcome. Welcome to, we've been away for about a month because I was on the road for a bit. And call in 936-666-1488. We'll be taking your calls till about 10 tonight. It's me and Johnny. So do we have someone in the queue that wants to jump in?
We do.
All right, let's bring him in.
Trad Life, right off the bat. We're in Trad Life.
Okay. Let's bring him in. But you got Trad Life. You got to keep it to like 5 minutes or so. But bring him in.
Right. I'm clicking the thing. My computer's doing it. All right, here we go.
Oh, God, please.
Hello.
Oh. Hi.
Miss Trad Life.
Oh, what's up? It's been a month.
Hi. Yeah, hey. What's up, guys? This is called to rehash the nation. The last part was scrambled for some reason. I don't know why. I'll have to try to listen to it again. But
Okay.
Going to rehash about the immigration. So I got the part about the immigration czar, and then basically started getting scrambled for me. But anyway.
Wait. You mean FDN started getting scrambled for you?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a end user problem.
Yeah.
Because maybe it was just your connection. You should always just download the file, dude.
Yeah. Always download.
Just download. If you're listening on your phone, I always just download and then listen so I know I get everything. When I get a good connection, a spot where I got a good connection, if I'm not in my house, just download it. File's only like 50 megs.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's up?
Anyway, just thought the immigrations are...
I'm talking about getting scrambled.
The immigrations are, he's saying.
The immigrations are.
Okay. All right. Is he breaking up for you, Johnny? Because he's breaking up for me.
He is. He's breaking up for me as well.
All right. Immigrations are. Do you want to? I'm sorry. Yeah, you're breaking up bad, bro. We're going to probably have to go to someone else. It's not your fault. You're breaking up.
Sorry. Yep.
Okay. We could talk a minute on the immigrations are. There's not much to say. I mean, I did listen to the whole segment on FTN. I can rehash it. Basically, Trump started talking about how he's going to appoint an immigration czar. And I think the obvious choice there is Kris Kobach, who is right now out of a job. He was theoretically, you know, he's going to be governor of Kansas. He didn't win. And I was sort of like, why would he waste time as governor of Kansas? He should go to Washington and replace Kirstjen Nielsen, the stupid thought at DHS.
Right.
Or there was also talk of him being attorney general. Neither of those things worked out. And as we now know, if you were listening to the FTN segment, the most important segment FTN has done in months, which is not to say their other work isn't important, but this is huge, was their segment on the Kushner book, which I have bought a copy of this morning. And I'm going to be reading, and everybody should read this. Trump is a puppet. Trump is actually a Jewish puppet. I'm sorry. I apologize. Wignats were right all along. Now, there was a lot of reasons to not believe this. But when you read this book, you realize it's true. There was, not to say, like, when Bannon was in the White House, there was a possibility with Bannon and Stephen Miller that he wouldn't be. Even though, you know, Stephen Miller is a judge, but Kushner's are like the Kushner's are like the ultimate in evil Jews. The idea that we could, but it's not even that. It's more than just the fact that they're Likudniks. They're fucking
criminals.
They're criminals. They're a crime family.
Yeah.
They're like a literal crime family. And dude, the shit on healthcare. Once you get past the immigration czar's off. So the immigration czar's off was basically like, all right, Trump floats this out there. Because the board is out of fucking control right now. It's full Zerg rush. By the way, that's my line. I said that first. But that's okay. We don't have to compete over who said that first. But it's full Zerg rush now. That's a reference to StarCraft for those of you out in Rio Rhinelander. Absolutely. Which I am no longer. I am no longer in Rio Rhinelander. Yeah, it's full Zerg rush now. So Trump floats. I'm gonna close the border. No, you're not. You know, $100 million or whatever says you're not.
In a year? He's going to do it next year.
He's going to do it next week. He's going to do it next year. He's going to do it when the Democrats come to the table or don't come to the table. He's never going to do it. I don't want to just rehash. Everything Jazz Hand said was totally correct. I don't need to repeat any of it. Like, everyone just go listen to the FTN. This is a paywall audience. Go listen to FTN. Everything he said was right. Kobach would be great, but he wouldn't even be able to do anything if he got put in place there. What would he do? He can't do anything. If he had done anything, then Kushner's just going to ask for him to be fired. Kushner has some immigration package upcoming, too, as well as a healthcare package, which I'm sure it's going to have nothing in it that's going to benefit his brother, Joshua Kushner, who owns a $2.7 billion healthcare company. I'm sure that he's going to be completely above board here, right? I'm sure there's nothing going on there. Apparently, this is the thing, too. Like, Joshua Kushner, the whole repeal and replace Obamacare thing is straight up, like, Trump wants to get through a package that's going to be kind of put together by Jared and probably really put together by Joshua Kushner, his brother, who owns this. This is just unbelievable shit. I mean, Trump should, honestly, he probably should fucking be impeached. I'm leaning that way.
Think about kind of pussy hat, too.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far. I don't want to do that, but like, all right. Problem is, if you get
some, I had a couple of Long Island iced teas.
Oosh! Oh wow, that's where you go when that happens. You immediately go to the. I'm joking.
It's a drink. It's a kind of drink. I don't know anybody else that drinks that.
I drink those. Boy, the results are never good. But it's, I don't end up in a pussy hat. It's never been that bad.
No, I usually end up in the pussy. Yeah, not just the hat.
Well, something depends what you mean. Maybe a pussy near my head. But anyway, let's move forward.
All right.
Yeah, this is getting bad. Let's see if do we have another caller on the line?
All right, Trad Life, man. Thanks for calling in, bud.
Yeah, sorry, bro. We could not hear you. But yeah, let's
No problem.
But long story short, while you bring the next caller in, there's not going to be an immigration czar. The whole if there was, the whole point would be so Trump can dump blame on somebody. It's better for Kobach not to do that right now. Kobach should actually stay relevant, stay in the news, and run for president himself.
That's not a bad idea.
He probably old enough? No. Yeah, he's old enough. He's got to be 35. He's definitely 35. Oh. And you got to be until for now. You still got to be born in the born with not even just like you got to be a natural born citizen born within the country. Like I think maybe you can be born abroad if both your like military or something like that. Then it's fine. But you have to be a natural born citizen. You can't be naturalized. You got to be a born citizen of parents that were citizens. I watch they're gonna try and get rid of that soon enough. As soon as they want some fucking wise Latina to be a fucking president. But anyway, let's bring in another caller.
Yes, we got Angus. This is Angus wants. Maybe it's a question for me. Being an electrician, what's up, Angus?
I know nothing about that.
I was wondering how to get into being an electrician. I work in a kitchen right now, but it really doesn't make enough money to like start a family. You know what I'm saying?
Right. What I would recommend right now, the industry is really booming, especially if you're a union electrician. I don't know where you are. But if you're near any sort of urban area, there's usually an IBEW local. You can call around, find out where they are. find out when they take applications. Do you have 2 years? I mean, do you have 2 years of high school English and algebra?
Yeah, I graduated high school.
Yeah. Okay. So you're good. So yeah, you just got to be able to pass a reading and math test. You know, be fairly interviewable, be smart, be white. And yeah, the business is booming right now. Adam from the Paranormies is actually on the list to become an apprentice, an IBEW, an apprentice where he lives. So yeah, man, I highly recommend it. But yeah, do that. Find your local JATC through whatever your IBEW local is, you know, near you. If you want to email me, I can probably get you the number and get you somebody to talk to if we can talk about this so you don't dox yourself. Just email me, johnnymonoxide@gmail.com. I'll help you out.
Yeah. You'll give them a direct recommendation, and that'll work, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my recommendation.
Yeah. 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 All right. Anyway, what's your next question?
Oh, you're that guy. Yeah.
Johnny.
So I met a really cool girl. We're planning on getting married soon, and I understand you're married with kids. Do you have any tips? Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
As far as what? Tips as far as...
I don't know, just like,
what do you mean?
Being a good dad and husband, like, besides the stuff that's, you know, pretty...
You gotta maintain open lines of communication. Always communicate.
Okay, so just be open?
Sure, yeah. You know?
All right.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
28, oh, okay, and you're married.
No, I'm going to be soon.
Oh, you're going to be married. Well, good for you. First of all, congratulations. I don't know, man.
Thank you.
Every relationship is different. You know, you're gonna have to. There's a lot of stuff you're gonna have to work at. Communication is key, though.
Can I ask one question? I know I'm not married right now, and I don't have children, but I do have some experience with women. So, is your word final in the relationship?
Oh, absolutely.
Like when you decide to I mean, look, I never recommend to dudes to be like a tyrant because that's just like women are going to be like, what the fuck? But when they want you to do that, first of all, they always want you to be the final word. So, you know, you should be the final word when it comes down to it, when it's necessary. Don't waste that. But that's all. As long as you, because sometimes with guys, you know, I would certainly not. Saying anything about you, I mean, it's not you, it's just my general experience with guys generally about your age. They don't necessarily do that,
the pushover millennial.
Yeah. And it's not like, again, I don't want to, I don't know anything about you, so I wouldn't, and certainly since you're one of our fans, you're probably less likely to be like that. But that's what I see so often, and that's why these women cheat, that's why they get mad, that's why the relationships fall apart. Ultimately, they really do want you to be the one in firm control. You can let them do what they want sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. That's my only advice. If you're not doing that, then that, like, the biggest thing was, I remember a few months ago there was that issue where that gamer guy, streamer, got into a fight with his girl and ended up hitting her like on camera.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was like, everyone on the red pill side was like taking his side. But I looked at him, I was like, this guy's a bitch. I was like, look, I get it. I get what happened, but like, this guy's a bitch that can't control this woman. He should have had her, like, out of the... He should have been, like, all he had to do was say, like, get out of here,
I'm
working.
Doing work.
Yeah, and that would have been it. And any dude that can't control his woman like that, that relationship is going to not end well. If you can't say that to your girl, like, you got to go now because I'm working. What's that?
Oh, he had a kid, too. Like, apparently she was holding his kid while that was happening.
Apparently I have more than one. So, yeah, like, it's... You never want to see that. Say this straight up. You never want to let the kids see that stuff. If you're going to fight, you never want the kids to see it. That's bad for them. You know, it's not bad if you have kids for them to see positive, healthy relationship dynamics, like the man ultimately being in charge, the woman being affectionate and caretaker, except that kids should see. Then they have an example to follow. But seeing your dad be a bitch...
She's already extremely red-pilled.
That's great. That's fantastic. Seeing a dad be kind of like
more gas the kikes race war now than I am.
Well, that's what women will be.
Which is like,
Well, see,
oh yeah, super intense.
Here's what women do. Women go with the strong hand. And usually a strong hand is the state, the current society, the way things are, and like the status quo. And so they'll take that and they'll double down, and they love enforcing rules. They love being hall monitors. And it's because of their role as mothers, right? Like they like they sort of, and when they're not married and don't have kids, they look at other people like kids. Like in the office, the HR chick starts looking at the employees like children, or sort of, not totally, but you know, sort of. And then fag hags do this with gays. So women are like that.
Oh yeah, especially with fags. Yes. Yeah.
But the best thing is when women have kids.
They always are so very boyish.
Because all those instincts are healthy when they're applied in the family unit. She wants to go with the strong hand, the husband and father, and she wants to enforce the rules on the children. That's how it should be. But then when there's no, when the father is the state and the state is run by our friends, our Levantine friends, and it's completely warped, and then the children are not children but employees at a corporation, then everything's fucked. Or if the children are just sort of like all of society, you know, that's the other thing. When they're not employed, they just like, they want to enforce rules on all society. They want to tattle, if you will. They want to like, it's sort of like if you're bad when you're a kid and your mom's like, you know, when your dad gets home and you're like, oh, I'm being some shit. That's kind of like the Antifa journalist and the alt-right. They're like, you're being bad. Wait till the state gets home. You know, then he's gonna whip you. So it's like, it's kind of like the same dynamic there. So you got to make sure women's instincts to be to go with the strong hand and to be rule enforcers, you got to make sure that is applied in the correct context with the family. So it's good. So I think you're gonna be I think you're gonna do great.
Yeah.
No, well, thanks, guys.
Absolutely, man. Otherwise, you'll never end up picking.
Thank you. I really need that.
Yeah, just be in control. Oh, no, be firm. And
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like that. They do.
Dude, women love... There's nothing more than that. They don't like... There's nothing that they like more.
Yeah.
Than what to be told what to do.
Spineless, just... indecisive guys. No.
Nah. That's never going to go anywhere. I mean, the other thing is, the sort of like... The bitchy way that guy was acting, it's sort of like... It was like an attempt to like... I don't know. It was like cargo culting being strong, and it wasn't working. And women sense that shit. So
yeah, he finally hit her after she threw a fucking cardboard box at him. Like what is that like?
Should never escalate to that.
A couple ounces, maybe.
Yeah. There's two reasons that could happen. It's she was always nuts, and he made a bad decision, or she's begging to be controlled by him. You know, like she's begging for him to actually put his foot down, be firm, and not be a little bitch, not be firm in a way that's like a little bitch. I don't know, or both. You know, a combination of those two.
Well, I mean, it's probably the latter because you know he's a Bugman streamer. So.
Well, yeah, she could also just be nuts, and you know,
there's a high percentage that she's nuts. Yeah. I watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, planted his seed in the crazy patch.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But
the good thing about that is,
I mean, a little bit of crazy is good.
At first,
yeah. After a while, it's like Jesus Christ, what did I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. My girl's like super clingy. I kind of like that though.
Clingy. That's good. That means that she's that means that she's addicted to your presence. That's good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like always asking me like what should she wear and shit like that, like. I've noticed in, what is it, like a little over half a year now that we've been dating, like she's changed a lot to more like adapt to my personality, I've noticed.
Becoming more feminine and things like that?
She's always wanted to be a mom and like a stay-at-home mom. She wants to homeschool them. Like, I got really lucky, to be honest.
Yeah, that's good. I think that...
And I'm kind of fucking retarded, so...
I think that I don't know, maybe I'm just LARPing, but I or just like doing wishful thinking, but I think that as you know, as the sort of central narrative of the government, the state, the society, as that like splinters, it's like I've always said, I don't think there's gonna be economic collapse, but I think there's gonna be narrative collapse. I think that they're not gonna be able to hold it together ideologically, so there's not gonna be any sense of a country or community. Right now, they're sort of pretending that there's like this national mission of like diversity, equality, inclusion, but that's really only amongst like these elite classes, like the Jews, and then like the sort of higher tier, like upper oven middle class and wealthy whites that like go along with that shit. But there's no feeling like that among the people. Like no one cares, right? You deal with who you have to deal with in your day-to-day life, and then you go back to your little thing. As this happens, and there's like not and women's sense, there's not really any rewards from any of this bullshit, this signaling shit, right? There's a reason why the ones that do it the most are these freaking cat ladies. They're gonna see, like, particularly as our thing gets bigger and becomes more integrated and networked, and that's, believe me, that stuff is happening. There's people all over the country. We're talking to each other, and we have formed communities and networks around the country. And as that happens, and people, like women, get the sense that, oh, if this guy's part of that thing, which is not, this is not like a business or a corporation or anything. It's just like a group of people that share ideas and help each other out around the country. But that makes you stronger if you have that. When women see that, they're going to gravitate towards it, and they're going to try to adapt to it. They're going to, if they figure out, oh, you're one of an, you're like a guy that's in with the alt-right. All right, I know you want like a trad woman. Allow me to adopt. Not to say that women are like fake, but like they do that. They adopt to the strong hand.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah. So yeah, I've seen this in a few. I've seen a few women that have done
friends
this.
Too. Like ever since I came to her life, like her friends. Are especially one of them. Like one of them is just spouting about politics and spurging out literally all the time now.
Well, that might not be the best.
And I've successfully like I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. I'm like, well, like nice. I set her up for the man she's going to marry. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty good. Cool. That's very good. Then. Yeah. Well, that's all right. You can handle the occasional big like, brain woman, but that's all right. You know. But that's great.
Yeah, and I've pretty much red-pilled everyone I work with. Like even the non-whites, it's actually well,
just be careful
bad.
For your job there because you got a kid coming. But I think it's good that you have if you have your wife, you and your buddy and this girl again. So you have like a little community and you can grow and expand that community. This is great. This is what we're doing. I think this is the best we've got to do. So, we can do the politics too, but that's kind of like a vector to get people interested in becoming part of our community. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, and, like, I've noticed all the white dudes I've worked with that I've red-pilled, they're all, I met them, and they're all pretty fucking miserable, but now they're all pretty cheery now. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they're starting to get it. At first, I got pushback, like, you know, I agree with you on a lot of things, Angus, but, you know, this, you know, I don't want to hate people, and then you just, that's the hardest part to break down.
It's not about hate, man.
They have to have permission.
Just, you also tell them it's not about hate. It's not about hate. That's the main thing is because that's all media. That's all Jewish projection, frankly. That's all Jewish projection. And there's some of the alt-right memes.
I actually work with. I work with a black Israelite, and it's and our
dude
wars are the most incredible thing that you've ever heard in your life.
Dude, can you get that guy on one of our shows? I want to talk to him. No, I actually don't really.
No, for real, I might actually be able to do it.
All right, well, send Johnny that email, and we'll talk about it more. I'm not even sure if I necessarily want to do that. It might be too much of a shit show. But anyway, let's we're going to take another caller. We've had you on for about 10 minutes, but thanks, Angus. It's a good call, and we'll talk to you.
Drop me an email.
It's excellent talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Good talking to you,
man. Outside of Gmail?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Later.
So,
we got that was good. Another good story of a dude that red pilled his entire job.
Yeah, that's good.
That was nice.
That's good, right?
Yeah. The last place I was at, like, I worked with this one kid on one job. He was an apprentice, and he hated me because he's like, he's so racist. John's so racist. But he was working with me on the last job I was on for like 4 or 5 months. He was actually my apprentice. By the time I was done, he's red pilling his friends. He's telling him, he's like, dude, everything you've ever said is not really racist. It's just true, man. I didn't realize that. Mm. He's like, it's just true.
So I've got some audio of that. His wife's friend, as he's talking to her. Interesting. We have a drop. She was sort of like,
I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's sort of like, huh? Wow.
That was really interesting.
No, I'm joking. It's all a big joke.
That's a big joke. All right, we got to Jason wants to talk about some Yang accelerationism.
Okay.
Let's get him in here. What's happening, good evening, Jason? Guys.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hey, not much. Hey, hello.
Hello.
No, I just I was listening. I was listening to the married caller, or soon to be married caller. Congratulations to him, and just try to laugh it off. That's the easiest advice I can give you as a married guy.
Oh, okay.
Just try to laugh off the small shit.
That's good advice.
But yeah, no, I got it from our friend Gunny from the Full Metal Jacket fame.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's the advice he gave me. I was up in New Hampshire, and he gave me that advice. So he said, if you can make it 10 years in marriage, you can make it, the rest of your life. And he said, the trick is to laugh off the small shit. Anyway, Mike, welcome back from MAGA country. Super fucking pumped to have you back because your audio is full potato while you were on the road.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't great. You can't, you don't always have good. You know what's funny? I should always just tether to my phone and use that because that was the best audio I had. Trying to use like hotel or RV park audio. Wi-Fi. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's trash. Yeah.
Total
yeah,
garbage. RV parks. RV park Wi-Fi.
It's only 3 or 5 megabits of. Yeah, it's fucking shit, dude. It's such shit. But all right, cool. So like I said, welcome back. And I do want to ask you a question. The guy that was on the mic towards the end of your MAGA country bit when he was talking about Yang's positions.
I
fucking read Yang's positions. Yeah, that dude, yeah. So I went and I read Yang's positions on his website. And a lot of the shit I agree with. And then the other shit, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to fucking bring about Civil War Part 2. You know what I'm saying? And so I started wondering about it. I started thinking about it. And I was like, to what degree is it worth leveraging positive positions for accelerationism? And then as a sort of subset of that question, what kind of timeline would we be looking at? Because I was listening to you and Johnny earlier a little bit, and you were talking about impeach Trump. Who the fuck would have thought we were there? We were here now. 2 years after the mainstream. I know it's fucking crazy to think we've come full circle on that, but it makes pretty sense from a logical standpoint. He's not a representative for us in any way, shape, or form. But Yang's position, especially related to firearms and then accelerationism / timeline.
All right. Well, yeah, that's a pretty good question. I can go on, but this is thank you for asking that question, because this is what I've been dying to do, and Sven hasn't been letting me do. For like weeks. The Yang meme is $1,000 and that's it. We're not doing anything serious about it. And I was like, but, and he's like, no.
But there's so much there.
He's like, what about, he's like, we're going to get that thousand. He's like, but then once the $1,000 jokes wears off.
He doesn't really care. He doesn't even care about the $1,000. He just doesn't want to fight about it.
Well, he'll take the $1,000.
Yeah, of course you.
Anybody would. I mean, you'd be a moron not to. But he also
understand it's 2,000. It's 2,000. He and his wife. He actually gets 2 bags.
Well, I was saying we got to insist that children get bags. What they don't need. What I would say another $1,000 per child. It's like, let's start popping out white babies. But then you family of five. It's like you're set, bro. You're set.
Yep.
That's 60. Yeah. That's like $60K a year right there. It's like, all right, let's chill. I could work
your little Etsy shop and support your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You could trade hemp jewelry.
Right.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, really?
But make
artisan cheese.
Yeah. But I would say, okay, Yang has a lot of fully ovenable positions. Like if you look through, he's like pro trans, anti-gun, so there's a lot of stuff you agree with. He was anti-Israel. I don't know what's going to happen with that. They managed to get him to do a turnaround on that whole circumcision bit. But his turnaround was more sort of like, oh, I understand this is a ritual very important to like Jews or something like that. But it's kind of like, all right, if you recognize that this, I don't care if Jews get circumcised. I never did. They can keep doing whatever the hell they want. They can cut off their baby's dicks if they want to, or the tip of their baby's dicks if they want. Like, I don't want anybody else being coerced by the medical establishment. And let's be honest, the medical establishment absolutely coerces people. They're not choosing this. And by coerces, meaning they present it to them as something, it's like when you push back, and I've heard this from a number of parents in our thing, recent parents, they're like, if we push back on the thing, on the circumcision, they come, you know, when we say no to circumcision, they push back on us. And then, you know, the father has to stand up and be like, if you touch my child's penis, you will be facing a lot of lawyers or possibly something, some other type of consequence in some cases. But
in Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah. In Minecraft, it'll be like, if you touch my kid's dick. But let's not get lost in that, because that's a funny conversation. But yeah, when you say no, the doctors will push back. You've got to be very firm. And then if they continue to push, you got to say, look, I don't want to have to get lawyers involved here. Then they'll back right off. And if it ever happens to anyone against their will, fucking sue the shit out of them, because one, it would be a great case for.
Oh, you're rich.
It would be a great case for the media too. It'd be a great case propaganda wise. But I think when you're firm enough, they will actually not do it. But they do, man. They push back and they keep pushing because they assume it's like a mistake, or they pretend to assume it's a mistake. They're like, oh, we thought that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we don't see circumcision checked here. Is that a mistake? You're like, nah. No mistake. I said we're going to get off this, and I kept going with it. All right. So as far as I think that the only choice we can do is now we're not going to get, like, Donald Trump is kind of like almost everything we wanted. He's like, we're accelerating not to, like, if you look at the acceleration as like from where we are to like a civic nationalist who opens the, which is what Trump was posing as, who opens the Overton window. And now it's like then white nationalism can be on the table. Now, Trump did do his bit. The Trump presidency phenomena did its bit to almost unwittingly or unintentionally to open the Overton window and make space for us. And it did grow our movement. So there is always that. I'm not necessarily big on thanking Trump for anything these days, so I'm not going to thank him for it. It was almost like a side
Steve
effect.
Bannon. Yeah, we owe Steve Bannon and Steve Miller for that one.
Yeah,
that
really.
Has nothing to do with Trump.
Because they were the Trump counter. Yeah, they were the counter force on Trump to Jared Kushner. Now apparently their influence is lost, and the Kushner influence is ascendant, and we're going to start seeing how absolutely paused Trump can get. And in a way, it's like his previous positions are now inconvenient because people expect him to be tough on immigration. He has no desire to do it. And it's just a clown show. It's so obvious that it's a clown show. It's so obvious that it's so obvious it's a shit show. If he loses in 2020, I won't even give a shit. You know, I probably am not going to vote for him. I'm registering as a Democrat. I'm probably going to vote for Yang as far as I can and see what happens. Maybe, it depends what happens. But I do think that he was floating a whole bunch of issues that looked good for us. And so it was like, it was totally, we should have supported him, and it was totally worth it to meme on him and to push those policies. I don't know if we're going to get that again. We might. I don't know. It depends. Trusting a politician is a really dumb idea. It's funny, like, we all knew that, and then we kind of like put it in the back shelf. It's like, this guy's different, and now it's like, wow. If I could have gone back to listen to myself in 2016, like, this guy's different, I would like laugh in my face the same way you do when your buddy tells you this new girlfriend is different.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of the same dynamic, even.
Exactly.
She's different.
No, dude, you don't understand, man. She's totally different than the other girls. Okay, guy.
Bro,
all right, all right.
She's a brunette.
All right, buddy. All right, buddy. But, like, yeah, so I think we've got to just focus on those issues that if a candidate is bringing, or if we can, like, we, the only reason Yang is where he is because of us. Like, let's make that clear. The reason he got that 65,000 donations and continues to get them is us. The reason he was phenomenal, they're starting to ignore him again, but when the Yang Gang memes were hot, which they've kind of slowed down the last couple of weeks, when they were super hot, he was in the media. Now they've died down. So we've got to keep, if we want to keep memeing on him, we got to keep that going. But the issue of UBI and the issue of automation brings up inevitably issues of immigration and issues of the white death and issues of the white working class and issues of the white despair, everything. Not only that, but Yang is the only candidate ever to talk about the white death, ever to talk about white deaths of despair, suicides because of drug abuse, joblessness, hopelessness, etc., which are plaguing this country.
Trump's talked
about the opiate crisis. Yang specifically talked about the white death, like white people. Okay. He talked about it affecting white people. and he talked about white decline. He's the only candidate to ever do that.
Yeah.
And that alone, I'm surprised he didn't get more shit for it, but it's kind of tough because if he first of all, he did on Twitter, but the media ignored it, but the people on Twitter reacted very negatively to him saying things like, look, it's whites are in a bad spot. We should help them out. The government should help them out. Also, the idea of the government helping white people, this is something we need to get in people's brains because conservatism, by design, removes that from your brain. The idea of getting government help is assumed to be about blacks and Mexicans or anybody or homosexuals or anybody but, you know, normal white people. But in reality, the government should be helping normal white people because we can think of how that UBI would immediately start to help family formation, for example. It would immediately release some of the burden on now. It wouldn't be enough to live on, but it would be enough so maybe you don't have to have both parents working, right? Maybe you can go back to just the father working.
You know, Johnny.
If you have a married family and you get an extra $2,000 a month because a man and a woman both get that $1,000, that woman can stop working if you have two incomes, right? And the man can just work, and then you can raise
the
family.
Nice mortgage.
Yeah, and then you can have another kid, maybe. You know, so
it
would really help white people.
So that's the foundation for. That's the foundation for my argument to anybody that I talk to about Yang is that, look, whites have for the longest time been shit on by the tax code, by the welfare state, by whatever, affirmative action. Literally every disproportionate opportunity that colored people get, whites get shit on. So let me ask you a question. And this is a hypothetical conversation with another person. Let me ask you a question. If another candidate came through and he said, hey, I'm going to just nuke the current welfare system so Shaniqua and Daquan getting $50,000 a year for sitting on their ass and smoking fucking rock are that's gone all of a sudden, but every adult in the country gets $1,000 and there's no change, basically. There's no fucking increase in the amount of welfare debt that's currently supplied to the country every single year, but it's evenly distributed 100% across the country. Population, why wouldn't you be for that? What part of you is it? What part of your white guilt like prevents you from accepting money from the government, or is it pride? Because if it's pride, I understand that because I've been through that before. But you got to understand that you're in a fight. You are currently at a huge disadvantage, both amongst the colored population of the country and amongst the eyes of the government and the eyes of the populace. You're at a disadvantage. You need to take it. You need to take whatever handout. That's probably a trigger word, but like
that is
whatever
a trigger,
opportunities
yeah.
are presented it your is. Way, you should capitalize on them.
Absolutely. Now, I think that pride thing about not taking money from the government. That's a cope.
Dude, huge, yeah.
That's a cope because, first of all, I understand why do white people have that attitude? They don't necessarily always have it. There's countries in Europe where they don't have it, and that's like looked down on, but that's because people don't really understand it. Why is it looked down on to take money from the government in America? Because it's something that black people do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that black people do. So you don't want to be like black people. You don't want to be a nigger. So that's why you don't want to take money from the government. It's associated with blacks. And that's on top of that,
the only
that is doubled down on by conservatives that then come in with this sort of bullshit economic crap. So my thing is this, my thing is also this, like conservatism, there might be, and I don't want to make anybody mad or insult or feel like I'm using a trigger word. There's some residual conservatism here because conservatism posits an economic theory. And white people buy it. It's logical. It makes sense. It follows a logical projection. It makes sense. But that economic theory, if you think about it, it's a big fucking chastity belt on white people to prevent them from actually wanting anything from the government. And actually, the results of that are Republicans now won't vote for like infrastructure spending bills and stuff. Like Paul Ryan will like nuke that. He's a believer in this ideology to some extent. He's also a complete tool of the wealthy. So we've got to start looking at it like, how does a functional state and society and system operate? We can look at that. We're not going to be that. But also, saying we want to shrink the government, guess what? It's never happening. It's never happening. Why don't we just get something for ourselves? Like, look, this government sucks balls. It's going to. We're not going to rescue it. We're not going to have somebody come in and change it. Donald Trump is abject proof of that. It's not going to change. It's not going to get smaller. You know, the repealing, like everything Donald Trump, it's like the repealing, replacing Obama, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, you're going to, what you're going to do is you're going to take health care from benefiting whoever it benefited for Obama and make it benefit your fucking son-in-law and his brother. You're going to make it right. even more mm-hmm. abjectly corrupt and nobody.
I believe it was Michelle's family, actually Michelle Obama's family.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. So there you go.
So
right, and so yeah. that's so that's my opinion. My opinion. We're getting that internet thing where everyone pauses and then starts talking again. So my final word on this is, I think one thing, like I said this in the show a few weeks ago too on TDS. I said like. You know, people that actually ask for something from the government, you're more likely to get that than to just bitch and say, take this thing away from other people. Also, like, I don't really care. First of all, one, government debt doesn't matter at all. I could do MMT posting, but we're on a limited time frame here. Maybe I'll do it another time and explain it. Government debt does not matter ever. Modern monetary theory, but it shouldn't be called a theory. That's a trigger word. It's actually just people sort of observed how the Federal Reserve actually worked, and then they started saying, oh, that's how it works, instead of like, you know, things like Austrian school or communism or Marxism things like these ideological schools of economics, which are pure ideology. They're not based in fact or empiricism, where MMT is like, here, what do governments actually do? And wow, let's like take that and then use that more positively, because they use it for corruption. They fool you with theory that is bullshit, and then what they actually do is just spread money around to rich people.
Right.
If they can spread money around, they can spread money around.
And I want to wrap this call up and give other callers an opportunity.
Sure.
So I'll just kind of postulate a few final points and be done. You're absolutely right on that. The my MBA is actually in finance. So you're absolutely correct in what you say. And basically, the new currency of the United States is debt, and it has been since about 1913, but it took a very long time to get to this point. So for all our listeners, there is such a thing as good debt and bad debt. You want to maximize your good debt and diminish or eliminate your bad debt. And bad debt are just liabilities, and good debt's assets. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, I just want to say you gave me an enormous white pill probably about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, when you said that the neuroticism of the Jews was going to be their downfall and has historically been their downfall. And I really, like, just truly from the depths of my heart want to give you thanks for that, because it has been, I wake up with a smile every day knowing that it's not entirely for naught that we're fighting shit.
Thanks for sure, man.
Thank you for the work you do.
For sure. I'm going to go ahead and comment on this. I didn't actually get through my little bit on economics. So the first part I said already about the debt doesn't matter. And two, like I said, the debt doesn't matter. And two, I don't really care if Tyrone and Shaniqua get money from the government either. If you care so much, go open a RIM store. Okay. Because that way you'll just get that money back. Right. If blacks are getting money from the government, just go open a RIM store or a liquor store or something like that in the ghetto. And then you're fine. Properties are cheap. If you're willing to put up with it, Koreans are willing to put up with the shit. You know, maybe you know, hire somebody to mind it or something. But figure out a way that you can. I mean, look, whites will use their money to form families and start communities. Blacks use it to buy flashy shit. Like, that's how it's going to be. That's how it will be. So I don't give a shit. Like, first of all, the only reason you would care is if it feels like it's coming out of your pocket. It feels like it's coming out of your pocket now. It feels like they're benefiting. It's not fair. It's also a look down upon social activity because that's what they do. But if you live in one of the Nordic countries, you know, 20 years ago, and you lost your job, and you went on unemployment for like 2 years. You get unemployment for like 2 years in those countries. None of your neighbors are going to look down on you. None, because they're like, that's why we paid in. Now, they might start to, if you're like 2 years collecting and not looking for a job, they're going to be like, bro. But see, that's the thing with white people. They're going to start to look for a job. You know, maybe take a little break. But you know what I mean. Like, ultimately, there is a thing where we keep each other in check. That doesn't happen with other people, so it doesn't matter. But right now, everything is working against us. There's one little thing that could work for us. We should push for it. I don't think we're ever going to get like everything, a perfect candidate. people say, like, oh, no political solutions. I disagree with that because, in my opinion, any solution is political. What people mean is no solution. When they say that, what they really mean is no solution through Republican Party politics or right. no solution through electoral politics. But politics, like acting as a polis, as a body, that's the only solution. That's the only way we're going to do it. There's no individualist solutions. There's no probably no solutions through the GOP, although things that the GOP can be leveraged. Now, things with the Democrats can be leveraged. We've got to keep an open mind. We like Tulsi Gabbard because she's anti-war. We like Yang because of UBI. We should push those candidates. As far as I know, Tulsi Gabbard sure. still hasn't made enough donations to get on the debate stage. Is it worth $1 of your money so that she can be on that debate stage with all these other Democrats? I think it absolutely is. It also, do you now, oh, talking yeah. about, speaking about the neuroses of the Jews, do you understand what kind of heart? I mean, think about Shlomo in the corner schwitzing and rubbing hands and cavelling because, a freaking Tulsi Gabbard is on a debate stage for the Democrats. Think of how much that, just think about that. if you're reluctant to spend that $1 for her campaign to get her on the stage, on the debate stage. I don't know where she's at, but we can go to her website and look. I don't think she's passed it yet, because if she gets there, there's going to be a big news story. And they're going to talk about how she gamed the system. They're going to talk about how white supremacists supported her.
The Russians did it.
I don't care. Get her on the debate stage. That should be our mission.
Right.
Right now, that's the best thing we can do as a community. We did it for Yang. We can do it for her.
Yeah, it's not that much if everybody kicks in a buck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, TRS listeners alone could easily make up that difference. So we'll, we should that'd be something we should do. I'd have to check and see what her numbers are. I didn't do that for the prep, but yeah, I do think that there's hope in kind of individual issues, picking and choosing, and supporting candidates, memeing on them, and, you know, juking the narrative that way, messing with the Overton window. Like there's a sense to it. Like I never would have predicted.
We absolutely did that with Trump.
We did it with Trump. But Trump was sort of like the whole package. We thought he was going to be the whole package. And then we learned our lesson.
This was a very, very good con.
Yeah, I don't think that we thought he was going to be the whole package. I think we thought he was going to be like halfway. I think that we thought he was going to get us like halfway there. But then we actually thought he was going to get anything done on immigration. You know, we always knew it was going to be a fight. Like, he's not going to come in and with the stroke of a pen do this. But when he started just not doing things that he could do, and he didn't actually have the excuse of, oh, the Democrats in the courts. It's like, my thing was always like, make them override your veto. Make them sue you. Make them do a court injunction to shut this or that down. Make it go to the Supreme Court. Make that fight happen. He just started giving up. And then I'm considering shutting down the border. No, you're not, Donald. Dolan.
Yeah.
Dolan Drumpf.
Blump.
Anyway, let's get another candidate. Let's get another candidate in the queue here. Let's get another caller.
Dr. Mayhem's been waiting for a minute.
Oh, okay. What? Oh, shit. I haven't talked to this guy in a minute.
I know. Come on. Do the thing with... There we go.
Buddy.
Buddy.
God, it's
you said that these are...
It's been almost a year since I'll have seen you, coming up on a very important date that's upcoming, but that's fine. It'll been a year, man. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Things have changed. Yeah. I ended up... Well, I couldn't do shit anyways. I was in that oil field for the past fucking 8 months, man. No free time. Trump's been good for one thing. He's got my damn bank account up, and I've paid off my bank loans.
Okay. So,
there you go.
Fortunately, I wrecked my car, and now I'm fucking had to get a new one. But it's a V8 now.
So good for you in terms of what, the Keystone, anyway. the oil fields and stuff, like.
Yep. Yeah. But damn. Anyways, fucking. Yeah, you triggered my autism because you said the wig nets are right, but I'm not. Oh,
dude,
like, what was their solution?
It's a meme, guy. I was a joke. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'm not like saying that.
Trigger my.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, anyways, I'm gonna bang these takes out. Right, like first off, oh yeah, time for some fucking macho mayhem. I'm gonna be calling in more often, doing that kind of shit because frankly, I'm bored, and. The alt-right's all black pills. It's whiny. It's not fun anymore. It needs to be fun again. That's the biggest problem with the movement as it is. It's just not fun anymore. And it needs to be fun again. I want the shit posting back. Come on. So
this is what I've been trying to say.
I'm going to do it on my part. Yeah, so, we need to have fun again. I know it's hard with all these black pills lately.
Dude, do you think people don't enjoy being black pilled? You know, are you crazy? People fucking love that shit.
That is true. But it gets to be even shit. I'm the most nihilistic cynic out there, and even I'm getting tired of it. And that's what I'm.
That's
I'm
a bad sign.
Esoteric Hulkamania. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to do the esoteric Hulkamania. I wanted to say this to Jazz, but they were talking about wrestling, and I thought esoteric Hulkamania was better. But I hate to tell him, but it looks to me that the cuck insurgency happened, and Trump is leading it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Trump is cucking to the point where Mitch McConnell's head is spinning. McConnell's like, wait, what?
Mitch McConnell is actually fighting.
Mitch McConnell seems more based. I mean, I hate to...
In what world is this? What timeline?
Well, the thing is, when McConnell's issue is like, Donald, your corruption with the Kushners is showing a little bit too much. You might want to, you know, like it's like you stepped on a piece of toilet paper walking out of the bathroom, and that's the, you know, he's like tapping him on the shoulder at a party, like, bro, you got toilet paper on your shoe, bro. That's the Kushner corruption. You might want to hide that.
Kushner eek.
Yeah, everybody read that book, man.
I mean, it's
unbelievable.
I've been trying to fucking power through FTN on that. I haven't been listening to FTN much because it's like, all right, man, I don't need any more bad news. Life sucks and then you die.
Well, FTN is actually,
and the next one actually
really been very great. I think the last ever since they did their turnaround on Trump episode, and now they're just trashing him constantly. I've actually really fucking been loving this show, to be honest with you.
Friendship ended with Trump. Yang is, hey, guys, I'm here for the Yang Bang, all right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the Yang Bang.
This other.
Yang Bang's making shit fun again, man.
Oh. Yeah, kind of is. This other idea I've seen floating around. Ironically, apparently the Trump admin's pushing this, but I'll believe it when I see it. You know how we advocate for bankruptcy to discharge student loan debt?
Mm-hmm.
Trump, apparently, his admin, I don't know, maybe someone who's worth a shit in his admin, probably not Trump himself, recognizes that universities are the enemy and is pushing for some kind of means to where students with shitty liberal arts degrees can sue their universities for being sold a bad product. That's something we should also push. We should push for not only can you discharge your debt, because the way the student loan system works, it's a federal program.
Yeah.
So say like we discharge that debt in bankruptcy, that robs the government of a shit ton of money. And if we could start advocating for students to sue universities for giving them shitty degrees, then that's a double whammy against our enemies. We can have the students help bleed the universities. Which just goes into my next point. Is it weird? I'm actually glad to see white teenagers. I'm glad to see white kids get life ruined. You know why? One, because if there's so damn many of them, it's not going to matter. And two, I can't think of a better thing than to keep our youth out of the university system, out of the brainwashing.
Particularly women's.
Only a few. I was just about to say that. And there's nothing better that I can think of than for white girls to have, like, no chance at college or careers. Like,
yeah, zero.
Well, you can't be sluts. You're gonna have to get married and pop out. The white guy who had to go to trade school because he couldn't go to college, so now he had to go to trade school. Oh, look, he's with me in the oil field making six figures. All right.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. We got to destroy the university system.
We have to destroy the universities. I can't think of a better way to do that than to deprive them of white people. I mean, you'll have the Jews to fill up those quotas, but who the fuck cares about that? Because at some point, we're all going to have to acknowledge when Jews take over something, it cheapens it to the point of worthlessness.
Yeah, it does. And they also,
and here's another thing. Let me power through these points. I'll get them right.
Yeah, go through your list.
The military, when you go join the military, because still boomer motherfuckers looking at it, they don't really look at social media. So if you don't be an idiot and spam swastikas on your Facebook, why do you have a Facebook? I don't know. You can actually still get in because, and this is another means with which to bleed the system. And basically just tell white boys, hey, join the military, ghost from social media, and get the benefits. And the reason I want to tell white kids this, because there is a short story what happened to me. So I get pulled over by a cop. They give me some bullshit reason because my license plate on the front bumper fell off, and I had to tape it to the windshield. sex with me. What happened was they pulled some. Yeah, they used that as the excuse. They also said I was speeding, which was patently false. I could have fought that in court if it went there.
But can always fight that in court,
was,
but anyway.
What really happened? Yeah, these were state troopers, and they pulled over some niggers behind me, and they were like, "Oh shit, we don't want to look racist." And they're like, "Hey, look, here's a fucking cherry red Challenger with a fucking Hemi in it, because look, it's not Dr. Mayhem if I'm not in a muscle car." And so they pull me over thinking that they're going to get a meth bust. Instead, they scan my license, find out I'm a veteran, and they start. And by the way, the bitch that pulled me over, some beaner bitch. Yeah, oh, welcome to Texas policing, right?
Yeah,
you're
for real.
Beaner bitches pulling you over. So they scan my license, find out I'm a veteran. Normally do not talk to cops, but do not say shit, but I figured I'd tell them about my time in the Corps. Sure enough, okay, then they pull up, they have a dog fucking come over so they can search my shit, and when they find nothing, their superior comes up, realizes it's a bad look, and it turns out he was in the Corps too. And so I get off with a warning. That's the only way a white man, a straight white male in this country can have protected status is through having been a veteran. Now, it ain't going to help you for shit when it comes to jobs, because HR cat ladies.
They actually don't like you, yeah.
That's a little something to think about.
Yeah. No, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
I just don't,
some
you know.
Going, you could get killed in Venezuela, but no, that's not going to happen. Caring about Venezuela is fake and gay. The only reason I care about Venezuela is because there's going to be 8 million fucking jungle bean niggers flooding the border. Otherwise, I'd be like, hey, look, send the herd of brown people. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I know you got other callers, so I'm going to let you go.
All right, cool. All right, there's a lot to. So we had a lot of stuff there. Let me just do a rapid reaction. I want to do the university thing. I'll cherry pick that out of that list of talking points, of mayhem points. I want to now that first of all, I love that idea of letting people sue the college if their degree doesn't actually end up in getting in a career. That's fantastic. Now I disagree with Mayhem on the idea that it will ever cost the government money, as we know it won't. The issue when you pay back debt, what that does is that that reduces inflation. That's a deflationary tendency. So you pay, like, all these people earning money and paying back this debt. The government injects money into, and the government just prints money, okay? So what happens is they literally print money, okay? And really they just type them into a computer now, or have a computer generate the numbers in a computer. And so that money goes, government says, all right, you got a student loan. Now we're just giving money to you. Or sometimes to the university. Sometimes it goes right to the person themselves, and they don't even necessarily have to spend it on certain things. I don't know how that exactly works. Sometimes it goes to you. Sometimes it goes to the college. And so they've just generated a bunch of money. They've inflated the economy by giving you a bunch of shit. You spend it on a bunch of shit. You now work your ass off, and you pay it back, and that's deflationary. So that's destroying money. You pay back money to the government. It just goes nowhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It just goes nowhere. It's destroyed. Mm-hmm. So the issue is that I think everyone should just stop paying that shit back. The only risk is inflation. With all this stuff, the only risk ever is inflation. There's no other risk. There's zero other risk. But I think everybody that has student loan debt, just don't fucking pay it. I mean, I'm not saying that to you as an individual. I think it should be a movement, because as one individual doing that, you will get fucked. But if like everybody, if it could be organized, if there could be an organized student loan debt repudiation movement, where all the people who have oppressive student loan debt simply got together and are like, on this date, we stop paying. And it was in unison, millions of people. And I think you can get millennials on with this. You can get Gen Zers on with this. You can get hipsters on with this. You can get leftists on with this. I've been saying this for years. It would screw them so bad. And the other thing is, we want the debt system, because that's a wealth transfer to universities. Guess where
all
of these fake and gay liberal programs are coming from? All of this SJW bullshit that has no real world application other than in the university setting, where women of color and homosexuals can lord it over normal people. That is all funded by that debt. That's why they can expand their staff to have these type of people. That's, it's like, and all these professors that are so socially conscious, making like whatever they're making in these high paid, high status positions. Now, I know a lot of universities have shitty paid associate professors. Well, why is that? That's because all that money is going into building a football stadium. So, you know, a pack of Negroes can run around slanting into each other, or it's going to fund new programs to teach kids this new type of anti-whiteness, or it's going into a Holocaust center or some shit that doesn't help anybody. So the actual academic subjects, you'll have a history, a guy who's an actual history TA, or he gets a PhD after 12 years of college in history. He wants to teach. He's like now an associate. They're not even going to give him tenure. So he's like trying to teach you about like Western civilization, which you should be learning about. And he's struggling because he's probably also a liberal fag, to be honest. But still, the real teachers are like associate professors, and they're giving out all these prestige. It's all bullshit. It's all funded by debt. There's a huge inflation in that sector. And the idea that everyone has to go, they basically take people that graduated from their system and they become teachers in the lower school system. And then they proselytize. You have to go to college. You have to go to college. You have to go to college. And so they advertise a product. Oh, yeah. It's all bullshit. You don't really need to. Some people should. That's all. And some people should not.
That's all high school teachers are, though.
Yeah.
They're college salesmen.
Yeah, they're salespeople for college. And the whole thing is bullshit. And I would love to starve them of that loan money. Because without that loan money, they would have to seriously retract their operations and lower their prices. And that means they had so much. And who's going to go first? The stuff that people don't actually want to buy. Somebody might want to buy a history degree. Somebody wants to buy a science degree. Someone wants to buy a math degree, right. Whatever. Real degrees. And nobody wants to buy women's studies. I mean, some people do, but only because they want to go into women's studies as a career and benefit from the women's studies gravy train. Right? And same with African studies and whatever, Holocaust studies, Afro-Cubana.
Latino.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was literally, like, Afro-Cubana, Pacific Islander oppression studies and shit like that. You know, it's like, fuck you.
Mills College in Oakland, California is the feminazi factory. It's literally, that's all they have there.
Dude, name me a college that isn't, frankly. But yeah, so that would be great. And I think that it would start with a big move to just stop paying back your debt. Because what that would do is throw the debt program into chaos, because while the government can print money, these sub organizations like Sallie Mae is the one for student loans, and then there's a couple of private corporations that then process these loans, right? So they get the contract from the government to be the processors of the loans, and so they get a chunk too, and they would go out of business. Yeah, they get a chunk. They get fees. And they would go out of business. It's like the money ultimately comes from Uncle Sam. It's very complicated. But if everybody stopped paying, it would throw the whole system into chaos. And it also create inflation, but who gives a fuck?
It would create an enormous amount of inflation. That's something that, like, somebody that, like, I hate to say it, but, like, that's what AOC should have done instead of the stupid Green Deal.
AOC should be the champion of this. But she's, like, the problem is, AOC is funny because she's dumb and says dumb things. But, like, and sometimes she occasionally stumbles on something that's, like, we're, like, that would be awesome. Because it would, right. Not because it's, like, actually good, but because it would actually, like, fuck things up. But this is, like, I think a thing that nobody really wants to touch. You'll know, like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I think it would be a winning issue for any candidate. But amazingly, things that would be actually winning issues and help people, you don't ever see candidates, you don't ever see really any candidate. Donald Trump did, but then he just never did anything. Or he pretended like he was going to for as long as he could. Yep. Yeah, he pretended he was going to as long as he could. Now the mask has fallen, and everybody's like, yeah, you just... And Bannon is out, and you know, all the decent people in his administration are gone. And yeah, it's like basically... He
took off his mask to reveal the hood.
To reveal the hook nose. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's bring in a few more callers.
Chris is calling in.
Who's that?
Horace.
Oh, I'll just bring him in.
Yeah, let me see here.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up, Tim?
I'm doing all right. I was just listening to the show. I like what you guys had to say. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think what you guys are talking about is right on what Mike was talking about. I mean, everyone else are the trendsetters and worry about the trendsetters, and we're the meme setters, and that's what's important. is to show flexibility in this upcoming presidential grand showdown, whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important, is to show that type of flexibility and to go for whoever we think is best for our race. Who cares about ideology and all that kind of stuff, because that really didn't matter before. You know, conventional politics, just pick the best person with the best program and just start flexing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we got to look
at our stuff, and that's...
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I think
that's all right.
We should be more actual practical and less ideological, as you said. Like, Trump was kind of an ideological pick. Also, he did promise a lot of practical stuff, but we kind of all knew in our hearts that he wasn't going to get it done. But I think we thought that even if he wasn't going to get everything done, he might get some things done, and he was at least going to be kind of an advocate for us in the House. In the White House. Now we certainly know better than that. Okay, we've all learned our lesson, and some learned it faster than others, and I will give them the galaxy brain congratulations. I think now we're in the mode where what we want to do is pick issues and meme on issues, and if candidates represent an issue, you always have to meme on a person rather than an issue. So you pick on that, you pick that person to meme on and to push, and then it's always going to surprise people, because they think that, like, they don't realize. I mean, the people that cover us in the media know how smart we are. The mainstream doesn't. They, and because of the way the media presents us, they're like, these are stupid, skinhead, dumb, you know, neo-Nazi idiots, right? No offense to anybody that's like that. That's how we're presented. So that's not real. Like, we actually are smart and canny and flexible and versatile.
Well, comes out in their own propaganda. Look who the alt-right's reporting. Look who's zooming ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what you were pointing out before, and that's important for our side to understand, because, I want my bag, but I don't think anything like that's ever going to happen for me, because I know that I'll end up with an Obama phone. Everyone white will end up with an Obama phone, and everything will be tied to reparations or some Yankee janky deal by the time they get done with it. But with that being said, doesn't mean we shouldn't push what we think is best for our race in the short term, whether it be no war candidates or whatever, because it shows a certain types of flexibility that this system can't handle. We know that.
Yeah, the system certainly isn't prepared for that. And on top of it, it's like politics are a vector by which we continually stay relevant and red pill more and more people and bring more people in. Like, I'm always surprised, because a lot of people were like, 2016 was the year, and now that's over. We're not going to grow anymore. I'm like, that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
That's bullshit.
As people's dreams are crushed by this system, as their faith in the system, like I said, every little bit. Like, I was at first mad about Jussie Smollett. Now I'm happy. Because there's how many more thousands of white people are like, you know what? This whole thing is bullshit, and are now going to start listening to us, right? Just even from that one incident, this is going to be a lot.
That's
it
happened when Ferguson happened.
I just did another show with Red Ice, and I hadn't done one with them in quite a while. And I did the first show, War on Whites, right at like the beginning of the alt-right, maybe somewhere around that. You know what I mean? It's been a handful of years, and the response to that show compared to the response to the last show I did with the same type of stuff basically has been radically deeper and broader. It's just ridiculous on how deep these ideals go. So there's no reason to be black-pilled. We just need to be flexible and open-ended and keep doing what we do best. The media can say we're irrelevant all they want to, and then all of a sudden we're making headlines again just because we support some particular policy that some particular candidate has that we see that's best for our race, because we're not getting shit.
Yeah, if we're irrelevant, why are Yang and Gabbard going to be on that debate stage for the Democrats if we're irrelevant? Because we're going to be the ones that make that happen. That's my challenge to the movement now. Get Gabbard on the debate stage. A dollar to make Shlomo, you know, sit in the corner rubbing his hands and switching about this. About, oh, God, there's an anti-Israel candidate on this. Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Like, that's what we can do that. We can do these type of things now. We can't like take over the country now, but we can do these things. And as we do these things,
we flex
and grow. Agitate, flex, grow. Flex, grow. Mm-hmm. That's what we got to do. That's how it works.
I like the Yang thing. I like the Yang thing because it was a big tap on the fucking shoulder that, yeah, we're here, and yeah, we can take over the internet any given day and drive something, period. Yeah. End of discussion.
Yep,
absolutely. And we're not necessarily beholden to some particular party or issue. Nope. We're looking at race and a family of five getting a bag each, like you said. Hey, they can sit back and podcast.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not getting shit now. We're getting shit on now. So, I mean, that's a kind of, I see it as a pipe. Most people see it as a pipe dream, but hey, push it, you know? Whatever.
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Like, do I really think, I mean, look, we should have maybe had a little bit more. I thought we were getting a wall in immigration reform when I voted for Trump. I thought it was going to be a big fight, but I thought he was going to, look.
I thought we were going to at least get a wall. I thought we were going to get some type of wall or something.
Well, the other thing is, I thought we were going to get, the other thing is I thought we were going to have an environment where it was always on the table and there was always a fight. Even if he was losing, he would have been fighting for it because he was so strong about it. And then come 2018, he does it again. He's, look, I'm just also warning everybody, and I don't think we're ever going to be fooled again. 2020, this guy is going to go so hard on like almost proto quasi white nationalist talking points in like the 5-6 months leading up to the election. He's going to go so hard, you're going to be so tempted to go back. Don't buy it. Don't buy it unless you see action. Real tangible action.
Yeah, he may. You never know, though. They might do something.
Yeah, that might be
to get the mojo back. They might have to do something.
This is going
to
be the problem. The best con in history.
So many people are pissed off.
A lot of people are pissed off. A lot of people have been burned, and a lot of people. Yeah. You know. Now there's a lot of grug brains out there that might. That well, there's people that are just, you know, they think MAGA means Donald Trump is president. They're happy. They're just morons. There's always going to be those people.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever. They're kind of a rel. They're basically NPCs. You know, then there's a good amount of people that want the policies but wouldn't identify with our movement. That's fine. Those are smart people, at least. They're not. They're probably not going to be fooled. There's a lot of immigration reform people who maybe are sympathetic to us, but they would never be seen with us. You know what I mean? But they're not going to be fooled. They're going to go hard on him. And, you know,
yeah, but Trump wouldn't be in office. Trump wouldn't be in office without our memes. It's a fact. It's a fucking
true.
Fact.
Right, because as we said,
the average guy, the average kid in the trenches, memeing, the meme setters made a difference there. And so just the mere threat alone, the flexing like with Yang or the flexing with Gabbert is fantastic.
Yeah.
From my perspective, it's like, whoa, they could swing on me. Yeah, we could swing on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not doing shit.
Absolutely. And
so,
yeah,
no, I think it's a good threat.
And with Trump, like I have always said, even if we're like 2% of the country, withdrawing that from Trump means he loses every freaking state. Like he won by 108,000 votes in the three states, in the Midwest states and Pennsylvania that mattered. The total was like 108,000 votes. You think we can't pull that from this guy? We absolutely can.
Yeah.
We absolutely have those numbers.
No, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, if he would have done something at all, you wouldn't have a Democratic Congress. If he would have done something to energize his base other than blackmailing him every day. You know?
Yeah, dude, there were so many people that voted him that voted for a Democrat. There's a lot of people out there. You know, it's marginal, but it's enough that swung it. And there's a lot of people that stayed home because they're like,
yeah, and there's probably a lot of illegal immigrants that he could have kicked out, or someone could have kicked out, voted against them or something.
Yeah, you know? I mean everything was for show, everything was token. I mean there's a lot of illegal immigrants he could be getting kicked out one way or the other.
It's a great con. It's going to be the greatest con ever.
Yeah, and I could be wrong. It might be though that the establishment is like. You know, as I said, like, you know, I mean, for political noobs, actually, people that didn't follow politics until Trump, there's a lot of them, and younger people, like, I actually found the younger people are getting the most blackpilled because they're not used to political disappointment. If you're, like, in your early 20s, and you first dive into politics, get into the alt-right, get into Trump, you're, like, 19, you're like, fuck, yeah, man, we're fucking winning. Then it's like, oh shit, what the hell? And it's like, no. I'm like 42 here. I'm like, guy, look, I didn't want to dampen your enthusiasm before, but like, you know, like politicians lie to you. And look, I'm not going to lie that I was taken in by Trump for a good bit there myself. I thought at least if he's not going to win, he's going to be fighting for us. And that's not really true, but they might, you know, who knows what they're going to do.
Trump blackpilling these kids, in my opinion, has created more anti-Semitism in the youth than anything imaginable.
That's true.
The Israelis should have got with them saying, look, you need to get a fucking wall built or something because these kids are not only going to be anti-Zionist. You look at the new news guys growing on YouTube that haven't been completely shut down, like No More News, and how anti-Zionist they are. And because of, you know, of all the people watching him kowtow and do all this stuff for Israel,
they can't
do anything for our country.
It's
just enormous amount of red pilling on the Jewish question. Can't believe they do that.
Anti-Zionism on the right.
Welcome to history.
Anti-Zionism on the right scares them so much more than on the left. It like legitimately
it's
scares
catching
them.
Up to the left in the youth. In the youth, it's catching up. It has to be. I mean, all these comments coming in, they're just frothing at the mouth at pissed off at Jewish supremacism and AIPAC. And,
I mean, you know. Well, here's another bit we could riff on for a minute. Israel, like the only true constituency for Israel in the United States is white boomers. And they're dying. And the same way other things related to them is dying, you know, like the there's white youth that are just as right wing, if not more so, in a real way, in a true right wing sense, not like liberals pretending that what they think are right wing, which is what boomers are. Boomers are just liberals. You know, they're just not quite as liberal. They're just like not quite as liberal as like the Democrats. But whatever, that doesn't matter. But the point is,
they're liberals with guns.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even that. Well, whatever. Yeah. But they, their Zionism is the only constituency, the only age cohort. Like young people, Xers aren't really big into Zionism, and neither are millennial Gen Z, whatever you say. Like they're just not into it.
A lot of that has to do with religion.
Yeah, it does have to do with religion, because these people were fed garbage religion.
They haven't been indoctrinated into the whole, like, God's chosen people their whole entire lives, beaten into church.
But they won't be.
3-4 times a week.
They won't be. People,
right.
There's two things that drive people away from being Christian. Christian Zionism and Christian homosexual promotion, like in the mainline Protestant church. So in the evangelical shit, you get kids moving away from it because it's super Zionist. In the mainline liberal Protestant, you get people moving away because it's super pro-homosexual. Those are the killing Christianity in this country. And on some level, I'm kind of like, well, Christianity, look what you did to yourself.
Yeah. It's the guy on the bike with Christianity, with the thing in the spokes.
Yeah, one spoke is homosexuality promotion, the other is Zionism, and then they fall down, and they're like, help me, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You don't think it's kind of 5D chess where, like, Pompeo's pushing Zionism because he knows as soon as the Antichrist comes out, Jesus is going to kill them all?
I mean, there's.
I'm kidding.
You know, I know, but Jews
is going to come back with laser beams out of his ass.
Well, the funny thing is,
riding the T-Rex through Israel, just slaying merchants.
I would love that. If I believed that, I would actually promote the same politics.
wouldn't that be a movie though?
Yeah.
That's what I want. Like all these pictures of Jesus dying on the cross. I just want someone to make a movie of him riding T-Rex. Just wiping out things through Israel, anything that won't worship them, lasers from their eyes and everything. That would be the fucking movie, man. How come no one makes that one? I got to watch this guy dying on a cross. No, I want to see the return on the T-Rex.
Yeah, man. Shit. For real. I mean, why not?
Okay, Mr. Merchant, here it is. Here's you and your usury right up your ass on my T-Rex. There's a movie.
Well, the funny thing is that internally, you know, Jews really don't like Christians, and it's tough for them to say, because you get those, because on some level they know, like, that's bad optics in America. So you get those Jews that are willing to double down on it, and it's like the right wing, so-called right wing Jews. They will ally with conservatives and these evangelicals. That horrifies these liberal Jews, and they hate it. And then they say, like, you're allying with people who, when their prophecy comes true, means we all die. And these so-called right-wing Jews or conservative ones that ally with the Christian Zionists or really just lead and control the Christian Zionists, they're like, don't be stupid. This prophecy is never coming true. We're just getting these idiots to do what we want. Exactly. What are you, dumb? Like, shut up. That's how their internal conversation works.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want an army of dumb white people fighting for our little state in the Middle East? Shut up.
Right.
Like, that's how that conversation goes.
Ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, then, you know,
it seems like, though, that people are starting to get wise of the fact that they're at war with everyone they live around all the time.
Yeah. I mean, people see that already. People see that with Islam, that everywhere it goes, there's conflict. Yeah. I'm like, extend that analysis a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's something in the water over there, or something in the genes. Yeah. Something.
Well, I mean,
something in the sand.
Need to stay there.
I think it's their genetics and the kinds of religious beliefs that are produced by that. It's constant conflict. Like, they believe in. I mean, what did Jan Osman call it? The mosaic distinction. The belief that everybody that isn't our thing should die. Like, I am not. I just want to make it clear. When they say that about white nationalists, they're lying. That's projection. That's what they believe. We don't believe that. We just want to say we want to have our thing in our countries. And if you fuck with us, then you'll be in trouble. But don't fuck with us and we can be friends. Stay in your corner. We'll stay in ours.
I love how I love how they call people white supremacists that don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, it's like, bro.
Don't want anything to do with you.
It's like, we don't want to rule over blacks. We don't want to rule over all these beaners that are crossing the border. I'm not interested in having.
I want to be around them.
Yeah, I want them to just go away and leave us alone. Let us have our thing here. They can do Mexico. You do you. We're not like Israel. Yeah. You know, everyone's saying like, oh, well, we have a wall. Like Israel has a wall. I'm like, well, what, Israel's smoking 50 of these people on their border every day. I don't want to smoke 50 Mexicans a day. I don't want to like blow them away, you know, with machine gun turrets and
shit.
Who
wants to put up with that chaos? I want them to be
peacefully on their side of this border. That's what I want.
The Israelis seem to be cool with it.
They seem to thrive off that shit. I'm not interested in it.
They do thrive off of it. That's what they do. Yeah. They thrive off that kind of conflict, and they are constantly generating it. They have to. On some level, they don't know what else to do. And they're sucking the rest of their world into the little drama that they keep playing out again and again and again. And that's what they really do.
Closer and closer and closer to their end game. And I think this is one of those where, like, you know, it's as close to their end game as it's ever been before.
Yeah, well, we've got to... In this case, when the final turnaround comes, maybe it'll actually be the last time. I don't know. We'll see. But Mel Gibson was absolutely right in what he said.
Oh, 100%.
They do.
I just want the next movie to be Mel Gibson, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I want him to play. I want him to play Jesus.
I want the return.
Yeah. He plays exactly. Jesus this time. Don't get an actor. You play him. Who cares if it calls you arrogant? Be on the back of an animatronic T-Rex and just like robot T-Rex, like just mowing.
Cyborg T-Rex,
yeah,
laser beam helmet right.
With an American flag.
I pay money to see that film, though.
Absolutely,
right on.
All right, man.
It would be a huge hit. All right.
See, who says that we need Hollywood to make movies? Listen to the ideas we're coming up with right here.
We have, yeah.
Even big budget blockbusters, we can make them. All right, man. Great talking to you.
Better movie. Cheers. Cheers.
All right,
dude. Great talking to you.
There we go.
And we're getting close to the end here. Let's see. Let's get another caller in. And
Apache?
Yeah, let's bring Apache.
Yang Gang.
Let's bring Apache in.
Bring Apache on?
Yeah.
Bring Apache on. I like Apache. He's got Trump's 1 year. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I heard you were into gaming. Is it true?
What's that?
I heard you were into gaming. I'm messing with you, too.
I like gaming. I'm not a big fan of gamers, but, you know, gaming is cool.
Outstanding.
But, I was going to call it to talk about Trump's bullshit. We're going to give them 1 year and see what Mexico does, and then if they don't shape up 1 year, we're going to close the border. But
Wait.
I'm actually going to...
I'm not red-listed on this. Did he say this today? Because I've been busy. When did he say this?
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed it. I mean, I heard you say that, and I heard someone else say that, and now I'm picking up. Now that so he said this today? Is the thing today? Okay, good. Because yeah, so I thought I would call it up.
You know, last week he said we're going to, you know, we might have to close the Mexican border, and now he's like, we'll give them a one-year warning. If the drugs don't stop or largely stop.
Wait, why the Mexico, okay.
Particularly cars.
Okay, now... All right. Now, last week it was 1 week.
It shouldn't.
I mean, look, we all know it's bullshit. But I mean, let's just analyze the stupidity. Do you think if you're flooding our country with drugs and illegal immigrants, you know, we're gonna give you a year and see if you can get. It's like, guy, like I don't even know. This is not a serious country. This is not a serious president. We'll let the drugs come in for if they're coming in for another year. That's when we'll do. They've been coming in for years now already.
Right.
Do something now. Yeah, do something like tomorrow morning. Deal? Wake you what supposed to get up. At, what about 7 a.m. tomorrow when Trump gets up in the morning and has his fucking whatever his like little fruit punch shake in the morning that he has?
Right.
Then do it. Anyway, sorry, I keep cutting you off, Patchy. Go ahead. My bad. I'm a little bit. That's so stupid. I can hardly fucking believe it.
Yeah, it's retarded, and I mean, so much of the art of the deal, right? They say, I mean, he says 1 week and then changes that to 1 year and makes it about the drugs as opposed to just the general flow of immigrants and the, you know, the degradation of society.
Making it about the drugs like makes it worse. It's like you're going to wait a year to do something about drugs? It would be one thing if it was like it would be more reasonable to be the 1 year thing be about immigrants. Because at least there's some narratives. I don't agree with it, but at least there's some narrative in society that immigrants are a positive. Like, you're sending fentanyl across the border. You better shape up, and next year we're going to come get you. Get the fuck out of here. That's like, and you know what? It's going to be very hard for people to pretend that that's not fucking retarded. Like, anybody that's still boosting Trump, it's going to be extremely hard for you to pretend that that's not the most retarded thing. Go ahead. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead with what you wanted to talk about.
I said it to one of my boomer relatives, and he was like, you know, this is bullshit, basically. He was a pretty strong MAGA guy, and he's more or less off the Trump train. But, you open it up for 1 year, and then there's a year for people to Zerg rush the border guy. It's going to be like, that's what it's going to be now for a year. Like, you put that timestamp on it, and everyone's just going to flow in. To quickly touch on the topic you guys talked about before with colleges, I definitely think that conservative estimate, a third of colleges should be shut down between the affirmative action and this scandal where goys are paying a Jew to, like, you know, cheat their way into college. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that there's too many colleges that, you know, if you send your daughter to college, she leaves college with a hatred of men and $100,000 in debt, and if you send your son to college, he'll leave there with probably STDs and a drinking problem and same amount of debt. It's like, it doesn't make sense. And I just wanted to pull up this quote. There's this guy who is the head of the Oregon University History Department, Brett Rushforth, and him and the faculty in the history department just eliminated Western civilization from the curriculum. And the reason that they did it was, and they said there's overwhelming support overwhelming support about removing Western civilization regarding the conceptual, pedagogical, and ethical problems of teaching Western civilization. And he basically says that they did this to own the white supremacists. He says, the obvious problems, what is Western? And who gets to count as being civilized weren't the only reasons to make the change. It was also about how white supremacists have embraced the notion of Western civilization to make racist claims about non-European people. So they're literally getting rid of Western civ to own white supremacists.
How much did the so this was Jews, right? I mean, who is this that was doing this?
This, it seems like a butt goy or some sort of fishling, perhaps. The guy's name is Brett Rushforth. He has a big nose.
We'd have to look into that guy, but it doesn't.
I don't want
to. I'm not going to completely exonerate that guy. That name is iffy in my book, but we can table that. It doesn't really matter because we know what the ultimate source of it is. Also, it's like there's quite a number of problems raised by this. I mean, first of all, as you were reading that, I was like, you want to put they desperately want to just put like a period there, like, we're removing Western civilization, okay, period, like, no more, like, in the context of this, right? But it's funny because it's sort of like, okay, let's say, aren't they always saying that what we say isn't true? If what we say isn't true, why are you changing your curriculum? Why are you no longer teaching the history of white people if what we say isn't true? If what we say is a lie, and the West was not created by white people, by European descended people who are white, why would you change your curriculum? Why wouldn't you teach it to own us instead?
Exactly.
They are
the narrative that Western equals white.
They are reifying that narrative. They are confirming that narrative by doing this. And it's also like, how stupid is it for you to do that anyway? Like, oh, we don't like these people, so because they say this, we're going to, like, not teach academic subjects that have been taught for, you know, the entire history of this country. And in your, it's almost, I thought nobody could say something more retarded than 1 year we'll do something. Now you found somebody that said something stupider.
listen to this,
it's
real
pretty
quick.
Fucking stupid.
He said, the The fifth tweet was, he wrote a thread about this. It said, appropriating that vast and complex world for Europe not only denies the many other histories that grew from it, but also risks mapping Western Europe onto that world, contributing to the artificial whitening of ancient Greece and Rome themselves. It's an act of colonialism in itself. And it's like, all right, dude, fucking Greece and Rome were white. So shut the fuck
absolutely
up.
So wait. So then why are you removing it then? If you're saying artificial whitening of these things, then why are you removing it? Why don't you teach Greece and Rome? Oh, because all those people that we're talking about that were really important and created the history of those places, well, those people were white. Yeah, like, I'm not going to deny that there was non-whites that entered and crossed into the borders of the Roman Empire. Maybe some of them lived in the city of Rome themselves. Perhaps they did commerce with them. Perhaps they definitely did war with them. But that's not the creators of Rome. Like, there's many subjects of the Roman Empire that weren't white as well. Those were conquered people. They're not the creators of history.
Yep.
What do you want me to tell you?
And as Rome got more diverse, that's, you know, what led to the fall of
yeah.
Rome.
Yeah, literally, like conquering too much shit
yeah.
and letting these people come in and become part of the government and part of the capital and engage in the politics. Wow, that extending citizenship.
Seems like a bit of a pattern with these people.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't even just Jews. I mean, Jews actually, you know what's funny? This is the last thing I'll say. This is kind of esoteric or not taught very much, but there was Philo-Semitism in Rome. Then it became fiercely anti-Semitic because of just the relationship with the province of Judea, and then they smashed it. But there was, leading up to that, there was Philo-Semitism. This is a very murky period of history because it was, just all the crap that was going on. But possibly even because of that, I don't know. But you know, that would be like maybe too many. The Jews are literally responsible for everything type things. But I do know that there was a Philo-Semitic period, and it was kind of where like the Herodian kings of Judea were like always in Rome, like LARPing around with the high class Romans and such. That kind of was put to an end by Titus. Mm-hmm. By actually, I mean, there's an argument that you know that then the Julio-Claudian dynasty ends. You get what the heck is the name of the guy? The Flavian. Who's the first Flavian emperor? It's just Vespasian. The emperor Vespasian, who the Colosseum is named after, he wasn't an aristocrat by birth. He just ascended through the military. Then his son Titus is the one that smashed Jerusalem. Anyway, very interesting stuff. You don't really hear about it because you're so interested in like the intrigue of the Julio-Claudian family. History nerds will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, yeah. You know, we can kind of end it there. Do you have anything more, Apache? You want to say something more real quick? And we can go.
Nope, that's it. I know you guys are running up on time, so
yeah. But this is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Apache. Thanks, Jo. Thanks, callers. Thanks, Doc Mayhem. Thanks, Horace. Thanks, Trad Life. Thanks, Angus. I think I got everybody.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. The Yang guy.
All right. Yangus. Okay.
All right.
We should call the guy Yangus.
Yangus. All right.
Yangus Khan. All right. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you. Oh, God. I just moved my. All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Like Total Recall? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.